Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with the professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor. And I'll tell you, back at the Super Bowl, I think one of the highlights, aside from just the cold weather, which was almost too cold in Minnesota, but was getting together with your Michael Finley, who's got an incredible story about concussions and how it affected him and how he's been able to almost redesign his brain and make it work so positively. He's got a football camp coming up. We'll get into that. But your Michael, of course, being a tight end with the Green Bay Packers with the concussions at a very young age. I want to start because concussions are such a big topic. How do you get the overview right now of where the NFL is with concussions and how dangerous is it?
Oh, man, my opinion, man, I think it's one of the most dangerous sport out there besides, of course, hockey. But I think the game is going down, man, as far as concussion-wise. So many players are damaged from brain trauma, and the NFL is not doing nothing about it. So I think the NFL needs to do a little bit more to help guys, you know what I mean, after the game and during the game also.
But I'll tell you what, I mean, thanks to guys like yourself. I know we talked to Ted Johnson last week, who was, former player that, was very much one of the first people to speak out on concussions. And there's a lot of positive things going on. But I think one of the most positive things that we can do is go into your story. Because, I mean, and first, you wrote a story for the Players Tribune on May 23rd. And first off, before we get into just the topic itself, you did a great job of writing. Did you know that you were that good of a writer?
I did, man. But once it's real and authentic and true, it's not hard at all. Once you got to make up crap, then it becomes difficult and discombobulated.
Yeah, because, I mean, what was so good is, I mean, you really made it a narrative of kind of driving us through. You start out talking about, the concussion that you had and going to the hospital and all that. When was the first time that you think you had a concussion in your career?
The first time in my career, I would, if you want to be real, Clay, I would say every game I had a concussion. If a guy comes out and say he didn't have a concussion this game, playing at a high level in the NFL, that's a lie. So, man, I couldn't even tell you when my first concussion was because it happened so often.
Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't happen in high school and college, or could you even go back that far?
My first concussion, as far as me feeling woozy and the symptoms, were college. I was in spring football in college, and we were thudding up. And Michael Griffin, he's retired now. He played for the Vikings, Tennessee.
Safety, yeah.
He came across at safety. It hit me, and I felt weird. I'm like, why am I feeling like this? And the trainers came over and said, you got knocked out. You got a concussion. I was like, holy crap.
And then when do you think was the next one that you could at least try to visualize?
The next one, I would say in the NFL, as far as visualizing, I was in practice, and I had a comeback route, and I slipped and didn't have my chin strap buckled, I guess, and kind of like slipped and bumped my head on the ground. So I done had multiple accidents as far as concussions, man. I can go all day on that.
Yeah. At what point did it get to the point where you thought you're starting to think you're getting them every week? When did that start to happen?
As far as if you think about it, Clay, if you continually get hit upside your head gets soft. It turns into a baby spot. So it won't be, the next hit won't be as hard to get a concussion as the first one. You know what I mean? So I think my head just got really soft, and every little tap, I got a stinger, I got a little dizzy. So when I got out to the game, some games, my son say, "Daddy ain't talking today," just because I was so exhausted and so just out of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's, understand, for everybody listening, what a good player you were, and also a smart business person, along with your agent, because, I mean, here you were a franchise tight end, and going to be a franchise tight end, and, you came up with, like some others, with the arguments, like, wait a second, I want but wide receiver a little bit more than tight end, so I should get receiver money, and fortunately for you, that was able to work out into a one of the better deals of your time at tight end.
Absolutely, man. It was a great time. I had an awesome time. But, man, the thing is, the game is getting so dangerous. It's hard to watch. And I have my kids playing, and it's hard to tell my kid he can go out and play football. So it's just going to be one of those things that's going to be talked about for the rest of the NFL that as long as that logo's up, they will be getting concussion problems.
Yeah, no question. So let's take us through the story and kind of give that narrative of what you wrote about in the Players' Tribune on the 23rd. Here you are. You've got the uniform on. You've got the shoulder pads on. You're in the ambulance. Start taking it from there and what starts to happen.
As I got to the ambulance, that's when I woke up because when I was on the field, I was in so much pain. I just blacked out. The doctor was telling me to relax. I'm like, how the heck can I relax when I'm in so much pain? And we went on, and I got to the ambulance, and I was asking the ambulance, what are y'all doing? And it was like, you have been knocked out, and we rushed to the hospital because you have a spinal cord injury, and you're paralyzed. I was like, are you kidding me? So I just started just pouring tears, buckets of tears, and just asking the doctors what's next, what's going to happen, and nobody had answers, and that's what concerned me.
Mm-hmm. So what did happen next?
What happened next? I got to the hospital, and they rushed me into some surgical room. I went down. I felt like when I was going through the morgue, it was so cold. I went down, and they took me into the hospital because the media was so crazy outside. And started cutting my uniform off, my helmet, my shoulder pads, because I was so sensitive. Because when you have a spinal cord injury, you can't jerk the body around too much. So did that and got to the hospital, and they started doing CT scans, and all these doctors started moving around. I'm like, hold up, what is going on? It was like, this is a serious matter. So it was just one of those things that I had to deal with.
So what was the diagnosis?
The diagnosis was my narrow canal had narrowed when I got hit. Some doctors said it was a birth defect. Some doctors said it was getting hit over and over again, that my narrow canal had narrowed a little bit. And I had C3, C4 vertebrae. My C3 had to get it fused together with a titanium piece inside. So, yeah, man, I'm a metal man.
I would imagine, and I would imagine that the words coming from the doctor, I mean, how did he kind of explain it and explain, okay, here's what the next step for you are in football and where it's going to be in life?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I had some doctors that's very, very conservative. I went to some that was like, here's my son, here's a family member, someone that I love. I would never let you step a foot on this field ever again. And I was like, are you kidding me? I want to play the game. So I was so adamant about trying to switch the doctor's mind. So I went on to another doctor, and this doctor was like, yeah, you can play if you had this type of surgery, if you do this. So I came to a conclusion just like it was too many ifs and but. So I was just like, let's just hang it up. I mean, I went through the little course up and down. So I went to Seattle. I went to New England. I went to a couple of teams where I knew I would win a ring, and got to Seattle, and the GM was like, we can't sign you. Your neck is still screwed up.
And that's a scary part. And so now, how tough was it to realize you have to give up a sport that you loved?
It was tough, man. It was a bittersweet thing. It was a bitter thing that I got to give up this precious game that, you know what I mean, I dearly loved at one point. It killed me. I mean, I went into a deep depression where, I mean, I couldn't control how I thought. You know what I mean? The thoughts that ran through my head. You know what I mean? It took me to that place. So I had to check into, I had to go to peer sports recovery and, you know what I mean, start balancing my brain, resetting my brain, and doing neurofeedback.
And how long was that after the hit that caused that you had to check in for that treatment?
It went about a year and some change, man. It went over a year for sure. I dealt with it for a long period of time where on Sundays, I didn't even cut on the TV to watch Sunday football. That's how bad it was. I was just distraught about the fact that 27 retired, and of course my life, I'll be set for the rest of my life. But once again, I never play for the money. I play for the love of the game.
Yeah, but that's the tough part about it.
I know it sounds cliche.
No, but it's the truth. But that's the thing that's so scary, because now it's you lose something that you love, but then in the meantime, for that year or so, I mean, you don't know what's totally wrong, and now you start worrying about your life.
Yeah, and that's what I started doing, man. I started doing, doing things that I normally wouldn't do. Very impulsive. My anxiety was through the roof, panic attacks, all them things that I couldn't control, and I was wondering why. and went to peer, and they were telling me my brain is unbalanced. You know what I mean? You had all these train wrecks, and now your brain is deteriorating. So it was very, very distraught hearing my career was over, then distraught about hearing that now my brain is only 44% working. You know what I mean?
So what did they start to do to start getting that percentage back?
We started doing a lot of procedures. I started eating cleaner. I started eating organic, going on little hikes. Then we went to the real extreme part of it by putting sensors on my impulsive side of my brain, the anxiety side of my brain, and the brain that makes me just clicks and think straight. So I started doing that probably two a days. I was treating that like I was playing football. I mean, because your body is your temple, and that's how I took it. And over time, I've done a total probably of 9 months in that place.
Wow.
And now, man, I feel awesome.
But what is your percentage right now?
My percentage now is 72. I tested. Yeah, my brain is way over half working now. And my terminology is clear. The way I'm thinking, my impulsiveness. And, you know what I mean? I'm treating my kids. My kids love daddy now.
What was the toughest day during that 1 year period before you got to Pierce?
The toughest day was, one of those days where I couldn't, you know what I mean, I couldn't get myself to gear around to leave the house sometimes, or, you know what I mean, I didn't really want to talk to people, and things like that, being really, really antisocial, and that was one of the things that triggered me to, you know what I mean, it's time for me to get up and go get help.
I know that I've spent time in a studio with my buddy Merrill Hodge, and he had concussion issues, and I know the light sensitivity also affected him too. Is that a thing where you almost had to be in the dark a lot of the time?
Very much so. If you know me or been around me, I'm a shades. I wear shades all the time, so my eyes still to today is very sensitive to light, and it's tough for me to sit in a room where it's really, really bright. I need more dim and down. But other than that, man, the game is crazy. And like I said, Clay, I can talk about this all day, man. And I hope guys are treating this like not like a business, but treat it like this is your life, your lifestyle. How do you want to feel when the game is over?
In fact, for those that have the concussions that are listening, kind of just tell a little bit. It's like, okay, so when did you get the sense that now things were starting to turn back and turn positive? Here you are with 44% of your brain being good. When did it start to come out? And, of course, how did you feel? Because, again, you go into areas where people haven't gone before because these are all new things, and you say, wait a second, this thing is starting to work.
Yeah. I started to feel it actually when I started thinking clear, and I mean not letting little things get to me, because that's one of the big things is you're very, very easily tempered when you know your brain is all messed up and jacked up. You're very tempered. Your temper is really quick to go off. So I just started feeling a lot better and communicating with family members and, you know what I mean, doing things that's not out of the ordinary. So, man, I can tell you, if you got concussions, you got to get it treated, most definitely.
Because you're getting this message out, how many players have now consulted you and you've helped put them in the right direction?
Man, plenty of players, man. We have players going out to Pierce Sports Recovery daily. I have guys calling me daily about what can I do to, I mean, feel better. Man, I got friends, man, that's really down in the dirt. Days. You know what I mean? Some days they feel like King James. Some days they feel like a homeless person. So, man, all the things you deal with when your brain is all beat up and jacked around all the time. So, I deal with players every day.
And, of course, the one thing that's kind of nice, and I want to get into this too, because, again, you say you this all happened on the football field, and you would think, okay, maybe it's time to stay away from it, but you're allowing your sons to play, even though, again, sometimes that might be scary. But you also have a football camp. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I got a football camp. My football camp is more based on showing the kids how to play the game right, educate the kids, not only – I can attract the kids because of the football camp, but not only football, but going out, being a positive influence in the world, too. So I'm going to have motivational speakers there and all of that, man. So I'm just using football camp to get the kids there.
And so where is the football camp and when is it?
Dalball, Texas, June 21st. It's a free camp, and trying to get many kids out as possible. Limited space right now, so it's going to be a great camp to show kids how to educate themselves in the real world.
And if anybody wants to register to go there, what do they need to do?
Go to my website, Finley88.com, or go click on my link on Twitter, JermichaelF88, at JermichaelF88 on Twitter.
Okay, we got to make sure we talk a little bit about the Packers, because what's your thoughts on the Packers, one, signing, being a tight end, signing Jimmy Graham, and then doubling down and getting Mercedes Lewis?
My opinion, I think it's an awesome move. I think both of them guys will feed off each other, two vet guys. So I think the Packers done a great job. Now Aaron Rodgers can sit back there and do what he do best, and that's throw at that ball and try to get it to Jimmy and other 30 guys. So I think it's going to be awesome, man. I think they got their traditional tight ends also.
Yeah, because it's like they've been trying. I mean, you know, since you retired. I mean,
that's hard, Clay. That's hard now.
What's that? No, that's what I mean. It's been hard to find something to equal what you did. And that's the tough part. I mean, remember they took Martellus Bennett and tried to do it that way, and now they bring in Graham, they bring in Mercedes Lewis. I mean, what is the value of a tight end in that Mike McCarthy offense?
The value is huge, especially if you start coming out doing a job. You'll see that playbook, they get full with tight end plays. McCarthy is an awesome guy at getting the tight end the ball, especially if the run game is working. So I promise you, you'll be seeing the tight end get the ball a ton this year, because this is McCarthy's type of offense right here.
Yeah, and I go back with Mike because he's a Pittsburgh guy and I'm a Pittsburgh guy, so I know him real well. Hey, final thing to wrap it up. I know that Dez Bryant was trying to get on the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers gave a no way, that's not going to happen. I know you've had an opinion on that. What was your thought on Dez going to the Packers?
I've been around 12 for a long period of my career. I knew 12, and his personality is not Dez Bryant. And I think Dez will bring way too much ego, prima donna, and the Rodgers I know, that it's not happening. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I didn't think it would, but of course now, what do you think as far as Aaron getting a contract with an opt-out at some point? Do you think that'll happen?
Yeah, I think that'll happen. If the Packers are smart, man. Aaron's one of those guys that you can't replace too easy, so... I think they should give him an opt-out situation. And in the next 5 years, you're not going to find a quarterback. 4 years, you're not going to find a quarterback that's better than Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
Guaranteed.
I agree, because, I mean, I've either had him number one or number two probably for the last 6-7 years. He's that good. I mean, the only one that kind of gives him a battle is that some guy in New England named Brady. He's not bad
either. He's the best. He's the best for sure.
Hey, you're the best, too. And again, I'm glad to hear the full story, because, again, for anybody that has had concussions from the NFL, you're the one to consult, because, I mean, you were able to find a way to reprogram it and make it work and make this program a success.
Yeah, thanks, man.
JerMichael Finley, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.